Order.
I will call the meeting to order and we'll now rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Director Dina Nguyen will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please put your hand over your heart and say the pledge with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you. Please take the roll.
Director Bilodeau.
I am here, thank you.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Mai.
Here.
Director Mendoza. Director Nguyen.
Here.
Director Rowe.
Here.
Director Sheldon.
Here.
Director Ta.
Here.
Director Whitaker.
Here.
Director Yeo.
Here.
That's a quorum of the board.
Great. Are there any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Wonderful. We'll move on to our public comments. Those are for items of the, within the jurisdiction of the board, but not on the agenda. Comments are for 3 minutes. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak on a general item or on our consent items? I don't see any hands.
I see no hands either.
Great. Okay. Let's move on to the consent. Is there a motion on consent?
Mr. President, this is Director Rowe.
Yes.
I have basically some comments to make on item number 4.
Okay.
I would just like to make those comments and then offer to pass the consent calendar.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Item number. That sound good? Okay. Authorization resolution for PFAS grant applications for Tustin, Fullerton, and Orange. I think that's great that staff is moving forward with doing this. I asked the staff representative on the memo for this LOTAN what that was about. And he says that past work that's been completed is not eligible for funding. And we should proceed with getting other grant applications. I think that's capricious that the state staff is saying that we can't get funding for this. And I wonder if we can challenge that through staff. I think it's great that we're getting an opportunity for getting a grant application and getting reimbursed for the cost that we're going to have, but I don't see why we can't get reimbursed for the cost we've already expended. It's a bad policy. FEMA, when they are grant reimbursement, they anticipate that public agencies will proceed with restoring their facilities or making their facilities whole after a disaster. And this PFAS is a disaster. I think we should have the same policy approach rather than what the staff at the state has come. So if there's any other comments, I'd like to move the consent calendar.
Your comments are well taken. And it raised a thought in my mind for staff as to the criteria that the State Water Board has to go under. Do we know if they're required to not allow retroactive grants?
You know, Mike, I can answer that. Director Sheldon, President Sheldon, this is John Kennedy.
Yes, John, thank you.
It depends on the program that we ultimately get into. The state specifically set aside some PFAS money for projects like ours. And under that program, they actually will go back about a year from now. So that program does have some retroactivity in it, but then there are other programs that do not. And so we are trying to maneuver ourselves into that PFAS program that does have some retroactivity. Although the pot of money in that program is not as much as some of the other programs, but we're still working on exactly which program we're going to apply for, and we'll be making that decision in the next couple of weeks here.
Okay, that leads to another question then. How much is in that pot of money? And is there a reason why we can't apply to all programs?
That specific PFAS program is going to have a total of about $100 million. Now, some of that will be dedicated for DACs, and maybe the net amount might be closer to 60 million. But that's for that specific program. But the other program is just the SRF program in general. And the feds have given a lot of money to the state. And so there's a lot of money in the SRF program. They call it loan forgiveness. So it's basically a grant. But that program, there is no retroactivity, and that's kind of a hard rule. So so we're trying to, and we're working with people up at the state to decide what's the best avenue for us to go down and which program we should apply for and how much money.
Well, to answer your question, President Sheldon, we're going to apply through both programs. As John mentioned, the one program was a surplus budget funding through the state. And in that, they put aside $100 million over a three-year period for PFAS. $30 million the first year, $50 and $20. So we're applying for the first two tranches of money through that retroactivity that we actually had some doing with and talking with Chair Esquivel. We were pushing for retroactivity with the state funding. And the state did listen, and we're able to go back to projects that took place after September of last year. So that's the retroactivity. That's the one source of funding. And then, like John said, all the money that came out through the federal government was pushed into the state SRF program, and we're pursuing those projects also. But those do not have retroactivity in them. So we're kind of attacking it on two different fronts.
I think we need probably some more information on this. I have some more questions. But did I hear you say that the retroactivity goes far back as September 2021? Did I? Is that what I heard you say?
Yes.
Okay. So, how much construction feels like we've done? Have we spent quite a bit of money before September 2021?
We did. Yes, that's a true statement as well.
Can we bring us to our WIC committee?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we have a motion by Director Green. There was I heard a second by Director Ma.
I seconded Director Green.
Okay. Please take the roll.
Okay. Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director I.
Yes.
Director Mendoza. Director Nguyen.
Yes.
Director Rowe.
Yes.
Director Sheldon.
Yes.
Director Ta.
Yes.
Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
That motion carries 9-0 with Director Mendoza absent.
Great. Let's move on to our board committee administration report and potential action.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. As you are aware, and I think most of the board is aware, we've had a couple meetings with the ad hoc building committee, particularly discussing when we might reopen the campus, when we might change up on the meetings. And we've come to, I think, an agreement at the committee level as to an approach that we might take. And we actually have Vicki Osborne that has a presentation for us this morning that kind of outlines what that approach will be, and then we'll take you through the various actions that we'll be looking for from the board. So, Vicki.
Thank you, sir. And I'm going to share my screen real quick. So I'm going to make it as quick and painless as possible. There's two slides. Mm-hmm. So what's on the screen, you should be able to see a COVID board and committee meeting matrix. So working with the building committee, both the OCW board and the MODOC board, trying to keep in line and lock in step. So everyone has the same kind of idea where we're at. We give you kind of an option of, I don't want to call it choose your own adventure, but that's kind of what it is. What we've seen over the course of the past couple months is a real change in posturing with what CDC has been pushing out and what the state's kind of been adopting overall. That brings me to the community transmission levels, and I have another slide to explain that more. So what the state has done more is now look at the community transmission levels that are low, medium, and high. And that's based off a different data I'll go through in a second. And the state has adopted that. So we just saw the masking requirements change as of last Friday. We've also seen them try to do this push that they want people to make determination for their own health and safety risk, what that is, how they fit into each one of these levels. So depending on if you have an autoimmune disease or you have a health risk factor, even in a low, you may wear a mask, et cetera. So those was kind of the same, the same recommendations was built into this matrix. AB 361 is still in effect, and it will remain in effect as long as we have a couple different components. One being the California state of emergency is still in place, which it still is. And the second being that the either the state health officer or even our local health officer, so that would be Dr. Regina CK, that there is something in there regards to social distancing and those protections for vulnerable populations. So that is still in the updated healthcare officer order that was, or excuse me, health officer order that was just issued as of last Friday. The state of emergency will still be in effect also until the federal, from what we've heard from Governor Newsom and also statewide from the health officers, is they're tying that to when the federal one will terminate. We are watching that because the current one is set to expire October 15th, but most likely that one will be extended for another 90 days. And the feds have also indicated they would try to give us a 60-day notification when, in fact, that will be terminated at the national level, because that will then trigger many states, including our own, to terminate the PROC. So I bring that up because when we have these different levels, low community transmission, medium community transmission, and high community transmission, with AB 361 in place, you can still continue to do virtual meetings, and we have the exemption to the Brown Act. We also have on here, so you can do a virtual meeting during low community transmission. You could do a hybrid meeting, because right now with those exemptions, you can either be in person as a board, partial in person. Some folks could also then also be at home. You could do a hybrid. Option C is everyone comes back to the office and has the board meetings in the normal boardroom. So that's based on what the board wants to do. At a low community transmission, it's really based on what the overall concept is of the board, what your personal impacts you may have. And that's something either you might transparently communicate on this board meeting or something that you may have to have. I would understand maybe in closed sessions, you didn't want to push that out. But that would be part of how you make determination on which one would be the best model. The group came to consensus that when we actually got to a medium or high transmission, because it's not like we would jump from a low to a medium transmission like overnight or even to a high community transmission. We would start seeing those different levels. And as we don't know what's going to happen this winter in regards to different variants, it's going to be flu season. As it starts to get colder, more people go indoors. There's always going to be the magic eight ball of what if. So we will have to watch that. But we have seen what we currently have for variants has been on the decline. We have seen our hospital system more stable in Orange County. We have seen us remain stable in the low community transmission now for approximately almost a month. So things look pretty good. So as you guys discuss, as y'all discuss, what do we want to do, virtual, hybrid, in person? So you understand the science that was put into that low, medium, high. It looks at what the new admissions are to a hospital, how many positive cases, and positive cases, that's kind of a wobbler because a lot of people use the at-home test, so not everyone reports those. But it looks a lot at what those new inpatient bed use is of people that have COVID. It also looks at what the hospital surge or the staffing. So all the hospital systems have to report if they have enough medical staff also based off the beds needs. And it uses that different type of science over the past 7 days, looking at rural and also urban based off the census data, also vaccine rates, how many tests you're doing. And between all that, that's how they come up with what level of transmission your community has so you can make the best decision for your organization. And that's really where we're heading is. They're really pushing that we make a decision for our own organization and what's best for ourselves. So that's we're kind of in that transition piece as we start seeing the end of COVID, but the end of what we have known for the past 2 years and having what we will continue to see as a new normal is probably the better way to say it. So with that, Mr. Reinhardt, I see you have your hand up.
Yes, my question is, Vicki, so is it only COVID hospitalizations we're going to be worried about? Because we'll be entering into the flu season, and you know that's going to cause numerous hospitalizations. Is that going to get wrapped into this whole hospitalization issue?
It does. So when you look at the graph, it talks about inpatient beds in use with COVID patients or by COVID patients as part of this matrix. But it also looks at the overall hospital beds, how many nurses we have for staff beds. And it looks at what the percentage is also of what you have of ICU beds. So it takes all that in consideration. The graph CDC puts out specifically targets that, but that's also part of all those matrix data that the CDC looks at. Yes.
So that's going to be the new norm. We're going to be looking at all these hospitalizations due to various different, medical conditions going around that can be spread. And so we could be, it could go on for a long time, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, but I will say that we are getting more stabilized where we're seeing what the COVID patients and the impacts of the ICU continue to decline. So it is helping. I know talking to hospital personnel with their staffing plans and their overall bigger picture plans, looking towards the winter months. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see too how this then impacts what Cal/OSHA is trying to do with the permanent standard, and how we get impacted in regards to that waste too, because all that plays into our business continuity plans.
Thank you, Vicki.
Sure.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions for Vicki? I don't see any hands up. Any directors' questions? Okay. Why don't we go forward with the presentation? Let's look at our options.
Vicki, you want to go back to the first slide and just clarify what the options are for board and committee meetings?
And we do have three, or the board will have three matters to vote on. The first matter to vote on would be board meetings. During low community transmission, the board needs to make a decision as to whether to adopt option A, option B, or option C.
Okay. I will ask staff, or do you have any suggestions on how we approach these options as to our decision-making process?
I would assume that one of the directors would the standard procedure, the directors would talk about the different issues and someone would make a motion for one of the options.
Okay, that's my thought as well. So let's take the board option first, bifurcate these. Are there any thoughts, comments, desires, feelings on the item? Let me go to the directors first. I don't know any comments from the directors? I don't hear anything. So I think Director Reinhardt put his hand up again. Is that correct, Doug?
Steve, I'm trying to raise my hand.
Okay, no problem. Well, Doug, got to hold on for a second. So we've got...
No. Okay. I was just going to say, since we are moving into the flu season, we don't know what's going to happen. They say it's going to be really bad. We're not sure what's going on with the with COVID right now, but I know of a couple of people who got COVID at the summit. I wonder if right now we should just keep with either virtual or hybrid. And I'll move that. Let's see. I'll just move for.
Why don't we get some more comments before we get a motion? Sure.
Okay.
Yes, Gloria?
Thank you. I believe that our last meeting, there was a recommendation if we are going to go to a hybrid or virtual, that virtual would be the the better choice due to the transmission using a hybrid system. So my recommendation would be for a virtual transmission through the flu season, and then we could revisit it in 6 months or whatever time frame we choose to.
I understand you and Kathy, if I could, and I'm not putting any opinion on this, just would like to stay the course the way we are now.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Bruce, you have is your hand up?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. I favor the hybrid option. And at this stage, the fallback to be virtual. I think hybrid really offers the best of both worlds. That's it.
Okay. And Director Rowe?
Yes, I agree with Bruce. I prefer the hybrid meeting. There's no substitute for people meeting face-to-face to get a sense of trust and understanding. And virtual, I think, doesn't quite make it. If it is dangerous, of course, you know, the medium or high community, virtual would be the thing to do. But in these times, I think it's becoming safer for us to meet without that much worry about COVID. The flu, who knows what that's going to do? But maybe we could decide when it starts hitting. Thank you.
I don't see any other director hands. I know we have Doug Reinhart. I think waiting to make a comment. I just saw something pop up here. Director Nguyen. Yes.
Gina, I have a question. Are we hybrid now? We have
We are virtual now.
Okay. I thought we had that option of being there too.
I think any director could come in with their iPad, but we're pretty much virtual.
I see. I agree with Director Green.
Okay, just keep it at the virtual.
Yes, because I do go to a court in the federal immigration court, and they still are virtual, and so are the Superior Court, which is state courts. And I think because of the flu season coming in, they haven't changed that yet. And we don't know how it would be for the flu season. I think best we let the flu season passes and then revisit this issue.
Okay. You know, I want to make just a comment. I believe the boardroom does have plastic separation, the thick, you know, hard plastic separation between the board seats. So I just wanted everyone to be aware of that as well. That there is separation there, which is much more than you might find on an airplane or in a grocery store.
Steve, I think they took them out.
They took them out. We could put them back. We can put them back in.
We can very easily put them back in.
Okay. So any other directors that have I don't see any more that have a comment. Let's go to Doug.
Thank you, President Sheldon. So you might want to have Jeremy weigh in on this, but my understanding is as long as 361 is in effect, if I think you needed to distinguish between a option B1 and B2. Option B1 would be your hybrid you're talking about, but the problem with that is that if you are offering both and something goes down in the virtual, you have to stop the meeting. You can't go on. Even though maybe your entire board is there and present, you cannot continue. So if you do one where you do an option where you can have participation from a virtual standpoint, but it's you're only offering it as a definite option, but it's just a courtesy that you're offering it. That way, if it goes down, you don't have to stop your meeting. But you might want to have Jeremy weigh in on that, because that's my understanding. That's what we're doing. We've been doing that for quite some time now. And so that way, if something happens, we don't have to stop our meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Director Bilodeau.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I too am in agreement with Director Green, but I think what we should do is keep going the course we're on and perhaps reevaluate this after the holidays. You know, in 2 months we'll be in a new year here. So I think that I have a feeling COVID's going to really get going again during the holiday season. And then we're going to be looking at something totally different. So I prefer the course that we stay the course during the meetings virtual and then reevaluate it first part of January. Thank you.
Okay. Any other board, any director comments?
Well, I agree with Dennis. We could let it pass till the first of the year.
Okay. Well, I support option C for in person, and I go to the grocery store. I don't know how many of us don't, and I flew on a plane. I went to a meeting on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, excuse me, for the district, close proximity. And so I think it's in the best for how we interact with each other as people to be in the same room together. I think I believe that strongly. So I am supportive of option C. Doesn't sound like there's many others that are similar. I would like to make I'd like to make a motion for C, and we'll see if there's a second. If not, then I think Director Green may want to make a motion. But I think I'd just like to put that vote out there. So if I'd like to make a, I'll move for the board meeting. We have option C. Is there a second?
I'll second it, Steve. I'd like to comment. I'm probably the director that's the closest to the district. I'm a mile by the way the bird flies from the district. So it's no problem for me to be at headquarters.
Great. We have a motion and a second. Please take the roll.
Director Bilodeau.
There is a question.
Oh.
I didn't. Okay. Yes, Director Whitaker.
Not a question, just a comment. I personally favor option C as well, but due to my wife's erratic medical situation right now, it still is great to have that crutch to fall back on something like hybrid.
I understand. No one begrudges you your situation.
Just wanted to explain my vote. Otherwise, I'd be with you, Mr. President.
Okay. Thank you, Bruce. Okay, so please take the roll.
The director, no, my eye also has a comment.
No, question. I'm sorry. I'm not getting all the on here. Thank you for letting me know that, Jeremy. Yes, Gloria.
No worries. I definitely understand what you're saying about being in person, and I agree 100%. It's a whole different feel when you're together, and I appreciate that. I just think that if we could give it just a little bit more time, perhaps. I thought that going to the end of the year is not a bad idea. Unless we have to make a decision within a certain time frame, or is there any reason why maybe we couldn't just start it in January? It's also starting the year new. And we know ahead of time what's expected of us, and November, December is so busy. Right. That it would be great if we could postpone it at least till then.
You know, I think the view you articulated is shared by probably most of the directors here today. So that can be maybe another motion once this one has been voted upon, and then we can have another motion for the pleasure of the board.
Thank you.
And everyone's opinions respected. Everyone's situation is fine. I think, you know, we can agree to disagree on these things and still work really well together.
Okay, so you want to do the roll call, President Shelton?
Yes, please.
Okay, on option C, Director Bilodeau.
No.
Director Green.
No.
Director Ma'ai.
No.
Director Mendoza. Absent. Director Nguyen.
No.
Director Rowe.
Yes.
Director Sheldon.
Yes.
Director Ta. Director Ta. Director Whitaker.
No.
Director Yeo.
No.
Okay, that motion fails on a vote of six directors voting no. I'll call the vote. Bilodeau, Green, Ma'ai, Nguyen, Whitaker, and Yeo voting no. Rowe and Sheldon voting yes, and directors Mendoza and Ta absent.
Okay, do we have an alternative motion?
I'll offer a motion, Mr. Chairman, that we adopt option A and direct staff to bring the item back to the board in January for further consideration.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion, a second, just for discussion. Gloria, is that what everyone else's consensus feeling is as well?
I agree.
Okay. Any other objections or wanted maybe a nuance to this? Okay, so let's please take the roll.
Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Ma'ai.
Yes.
Director Mendoza. Director Nguyen.
Yes.
Director Rowe.
Yes.
Director Sheldon.
No.
Director Ta. Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
That motion carries with seven directors voting yes. Bilodeau, Green, Ma'ai, Nguyen, Rowe, Whitaker, and Yeo. Director Sheldon voting no. And directors Mendoza and Ta absent.
Thank you. Great. Well, I don't know if we need to go to our committee. I think that message has been sent clear. Does anyone, we don't have to take an action to change because no action keeps the status quo. Would the directors like to make another motion, or do we just move on with this item? But whatever is the pleasure of the board.
I'll make a motion that we keep the committees as virtual.
Okay, no motion would do that as well. We don't have to vote to do that.
Until we reconsider in January.
It's probably cleaner that way, President Sheldon, as long as that's not a problem.
I don't know if I...
I'll second the motion.
Okay.
This is Bilodeau.
Okay, please take the roll.
Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Ma'ai.
Yes.
Director Mendoza. Director Nguyen.
Yes.
Director Rowe.
Yes.
Director Sheldon.
No, I felt that a hybrid would be better here, so I'll be voting no.
Director Ta. Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
That motion carries the seven directors in favor. Director Sheldon voting no, and Director Ta and Nguyen absent. I mean, Mendoza, sorry.
Great. Would this come at our first meeting or second meeting in January?
It could come at either one. We can bring it back to the first board meeting in January.
That wasn't my motion. Dennis?
Can we do it the second meeting so that we find out if people coming back from holidays have suffered with more incidents of COVID or flu.
The motion approved would allow that just back in January, so you'd have the discretion to do either.
Okay, because I was going to say we won't really know in that first week if people are back and if they've had problems, correct?
Correct. So the consensus is for the second.
That meeting. Makes sense to me, Kathy. That's that sounds good to me.
Okay.
Okay. So second meeting it is.
And just as a reminder, Mr. President, there was a third motion, which was to adopt the matrix, the remainder of the matrix, to use as a guideline.
Oh, shall we vote on this and then vote to adopt the matrix?
I don't see a need to do that. I don't understand a need to do that. Okay. Is there a reason?
Just so it's clean and clear.
Okay. I don't know how it makes it clean and clear because we.
Okay.
But I'm happy to take whatever's the pleasure of the board.
It's at your discretion, whatever you
no,
want.
No, it's just it's the board's discretion.
Okay.
I'm just one of 10, so.
Okay. Can we vote
on the motion?
Can we vote on this motion first and then move to adopting the matrix?
I think we've already clarified we've had two items for the
have we voted
on the committee? I think the next vote is on the matrix.
Yes.
Correct. Okay, so moved.
Is there a second?
Oh, second.
Okay, Director Rowe, please take the roll.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Ma'ai?
Yes.
Director Mendoza? Director Nguyen?
Yes.
Director Rowe?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Ta? Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
That motion carries unanimously 8-0 with Directors Mendoza and Ta absent.
Okay. Thank you all for that. We'll move on to our PFAS update.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. Chris Olson will be giving a short presentation, an update on the various PFAS projects that we have underway currently. So, Chris?
Yes, thanks, Mike. Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board. As I've been doing every month, here is the update for October. Starting it off a little bit differently. Once I get past this first slide showing you the summary update, 19 in design, 20 in construction, and 19 wells operational. Focusing now on the ones that have most recently been placed into operation, that is for the City of Orange. Their phase one, their four wells, 9, 19, 23, and 24, all are operational as of now. So here's what the finished site looks like. Yes, there's still a couple of punch list items left to do, but all in all, the sites have been paved and they're in operation. So you have 9 on the left, 19 on the right. And then here you have 23 and well 24 on the right. So we're probably going to be coming back to the board. It'll either be November or December for a notice of completion to close this phase one contract out. Over at the City of Garden Grove, where we got the five wells, four sites. We have two that are operational right now. That's well 21, which has been operational since November of last year. And then well 30 has been operational just over a month now. Next one up is well 29 site. And my last report, I had said that we're waiting on a gas regulator to arrive because it's a gas-fired engine. We received it. It's being installed and they're doing their flushing work and resin's going to get filled in the next week or two. And then this site will be operational. And the main focus will then just be, this is another shot of well 29 site. Then the main focus will just be on the Lamson Reservoir, where just recently we had all the vessels installed for wells 23 and 28 at Lamson. So they will just continue working on the process piping and the electrical components and getting the system tight in. Still a few months away from being operational over here at Lamson. Moving over to the remaining items that are in construction, we have the East Orange County, the two wells over there. And here also we had the vessels delivered and installed. So in the very far left of the image, that's the chemical building, and then you have the vessels. So similar, they're going to be working on the process, piping and tying this all in. It's probably going to be end of the year before, or maybe even into 23 before East Orange County is operational over here. For IRWD, you have the OPA-1 well. And remember, this one has the recessed pit here, similar to Serrano. So they've got the soldier beams installed, the shoring, and they are just excavating out for that pit to get ready for the walls and the foundations for the concrete work that are going to happen there. Also, likely going to go into the early part of next year before this one's operational. At Santa Ana, we have the Well 40 site, and all the vessels have been installed. Similar, they're all kind of, all these last three are on the same kind of path. They're working on the process piping and getting the electrical components completed. So for Anaheim, we have the two phases, phase A, which is 8 wells at 4 different locations, and a little brief update for them. So the energy field well, they have the above ground valves and underground pipes are being installed. And they're just over halfway done with that construction. The La Palma site, they've got the vessels and cartridge filters installed, working on, or the above ground piping and valves are installed, and they're just over a third done with that site. Linda Vista, that's the large site that has the, for the 5 wells around Anaheim Lake. So they've got the 42-inch raw water and treated water mains being installed, and they're working on their operational building. Here's a little snapshot there. They have the vessels being installed over there for their large plant called the Linda Vista site. And then they've mobilized over to the Boysen Park well site, and they got their temporary construction fencing up and rough grading starting this week. Still planning for summer of 23 for construction completion at phase A. And phase B, which is the 6 wells at 5 sites. They reached, last time I was reporting that they received 100% plans. Now those plans are being finalized, and they're planning on mobilizing within the next month, starting construction. And for these sites, they're planning on completion by fall of 23. We have 2 new ones that are going to be starting construction, contractors to mobilize this month. And that's for the Fullerton main plant, 2 wells there. And it's also for Golden State Water Company, 2 sites, 3 wells. So both on the same starting timeframe in the next probably 2 weeks or so, going to be mobilizing out to the sites. And what we're doing right now is about to put out an advertisement for City of Tustin. That's for their 4 wells at their centralized plant with the pipeline work. And we're shooting for getting it out this week. And then the next one will be in 2 weeks is the Orange Phase 2, which is the treatment systems for wells 20, 21, and 22. And continuing the design work for the Santa Ana, the 3 wells there, they're at 60%. So that concludes the update. You can take any questions.
Thank you, Chris. Any questions for Chris? I'm looking here at our, I don't see any hands. Nope. Chris, I think we're good. Thank you.
I have a question, Director Sheldon, President Sheldon.
Yes.
So will any of these activities be eligible for grant funding potentially, just given the timing?
Yes.
That's all I need to hear. Thank you.
Yeah. And I know that Jason Dadakis has a regulatory update to provide also.
Thank you, Chris. Let's move to Jason.
Great. Thanks, Chris. Good evening, President Sheldon, members of the board. Just a brief regulatory update from me. On the state side this month, we anticipate that the State Division of Drinking Water is going to rescind its current statewide monitoring orders, and then immediately reissue new expanded orders for monitoring that'll start in the first quarter of next year. We believe that all states, all sites statewide that have had detections will continue to receive that new order, as well as an expansion to untested wells within a 1 mile radius of detections. New orders are also gonna require a switch to a new expanded EPA PFAS testing method, for which our lab was the first public entity in the state to gain accreditation earlier this year. Once those new orders are out, we also anticipate the state will go ahead and formally issue the long-awaited notification response levels for PFHXS. And so that'll represent the 4th PFAS compound that will have those drinking water advisories. And then on the federal side, last month, EPA published its anticipated proposed rule to designate PFOA and PFOS as hazardous substances under CERCLA, the Superfund law. Public comments are currently due by November 7th, but a number of association and industry groups have indicated and requested an extension to that comment period. Once it reviews public comments, EPA has stated its intent to issue a final proposed rule with its own shorter limited comment period, and then issue a final rule sometime late next year in 2023. And just to note, legally EPA itself cannot issue, can't include an exemption in the rule for the water and wastewater community or any other type of entity. You know, that's something the district has pushed for along with the rest of much of the industry. Such exemption has to come from Congress. And finally, we still anticipate that EPA is on course to release its proposed federal primary drinking water regulation for at least PFOA and PFOS, if not potentially additional PFAS, by the end of this calendar year with a public comment period to follow. And that concludes my report. I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? I don't see any hands. My question that I have is regarding the new standards you referenced. Can you articulate what those are?
Sure, Director Sheldon. On the state side, we do anticipate this month a notification response levels for PFHXS. State Division of Drinking Water staff presented this item to the state board in August with a proposal that time for the notification level to be set at 2 nanograms per liter, which corresponds to the standard laboratory detection limit. And that's the threshold at which an entity serving water above that level to their customers, to the public, is required to notify their local governing body of that. So it's like their local city council or if it's an incorporated area, their board of supervisors. Coupled with that would be a response level set at 20 nanograms per liter. And that is the threshold at which the state recommends that the water not be served to the public. And if the utility elects or must continue to do so, extensive public notification is required should they continue serving that water to the public.
Can you tell us what the difference is between the nanogram and the part per trillion?
Yes, the nanogram and part per trillion are equivalent. They're analogous. Yes.
Okay. Okay, any questions? I've got quite a few more questions, but those may involve attorney-client privilege, so we should perhaps schedule that for a closed session at a future time.
We will do so, Mr. President.
Thank you. Let's move on to the SOPA report. First, Jason, thank you very much, always very thorough. We greatly appreciate it. Okay, let's move on to SOPA report.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. As I mentioned at our last board meeting, the next day, which was September 22nd, was the meeting of our One Water, One Watershed Steering Committee. And in that meeting, we narrowly obtained a quorum of the 11-person committee, but that group did unanimously agree to recommend the portfolio of 10 projects to SOPA Commission for consideration in receiving IRWM Round 2 grant funding. And that includes all three North Orange County projects. So that was recommended to the SOPA Commission. And at yesterday morning SOPA Commission meeting, the commission unanimously approved that portfolio of projects. In addition, we also received an informational report from our consultant involving the Santa Ana River Watershed Weather Modification Pilot Program. That will begin in earnest on November 2023, so just a bit over a year from now. And that is all. The details are contained within the packet.
Thank you. Any questions? Any comments?
Well, this is Director Rowe. As you know, I'm really keen on this weather modification cloud seeding program, and I'm a little disappointed that SOPA and the consultants that we selected aren't quite prepared, but they did have some, you know, good excuses or reasons why it'd be good to wait until next year. And I agree with that, to what it is. So let's look forward to this advance in watershed management to start next year. Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to the verbal, okay, committee reports. And is there any directors like to report attendance at a meeting at government, at a district expense where a majority of the board members were present? Well, I don't see any hands on that, so we'll move on to the verbal reports. And the first is the president's report. And just there's been a couple meetings going on to update the board to, on Tuesday. There was a meeting with Anaheim regarding their new live, I forget, the Gloria, help me, what's the name of the project?
It's the Riverwalk Park.
Riverwalk Park.
Riverwalk Water Park.
What's the bigger project with the pond?
Oh, the OC Vibe.
OC Vibe, thank you. $4 billion of construction at OC Vibe there in the parking lot, the greater expanded parking lot for the Anaheim and the Anaheim Pond, with hotels and residential and lots of retail, similar to, say, maybe the Staples. So as a part of that, they have the Riverwalk, which is more of a city project, and we may have recalled the desire to want to impound GWRS water there for a few different reasons. And so there was a meeting with the city, and I think it went well in the sense that they recognize our primary purpose with the water for percolation and recharging the groundwater. And, you know, they also have important as a city with recreation and economic development. So we were able to come to some sort of an accord on that. And that was a good meeting. In fact, I'm just going to hold off for a second and see if the other directors that were present, if they would like to add to what I just stated. So with that,
I think you gave a good summation.
Okay. So with that, I'm going to move on to the grand jury issue. We met with MODOC and had an interesting dialogue on various issues and putting together some ideas back and forth. And I believe we'll be getting an update as to the district's activity going forward with LAFCO. And the media will have that update in the immediate future. I'd also like just to mention to all the directors, there was a conversation here at the board regarding the Mesa Water District's, I don't know if it's pure water, I call it the Colored Water Project. I know they don't like it when we call it that. That's the old name. But if there's opportunities for any other deep drilling, so to speak, of production wells, and with that in mind and other items, Director Rowe and Director Whitaker authored a position paper that they've presented that we can examine various things in the basin. And so staff will be looking at that and bringing that back to the board at probably a WIC meeting for our pleasure and review. Those are some of the main things that have gone on. And now I'll go to the general manager report.
Thank you, Mr. President. And just to follow on to the grand jury report, as I think I've reported to the board the last couple months, I have been meeting with the various water agencies that throughout the county. There were 17 that were asked to respond to the grand jury report. I've met with all 17 of those water agencies. 10 of our producers were not required or asked to comment on the report, and I've met with 8 out of 10 of those producers. So I'm just lacking La Palma and Seal Beach, but I'm trying to get those on calendar to solicit their input on how they felt about the grand jury report. So I'll have more to report back at a later meeting.
Thank you. Any director reports? Okay, I see Director Whitaker and Rowe.
Yes. Director Whitaker. Yes, Mr. President. I just wanted to say that I appreciated your well-rounded and thorough discussion at the dedication of the Serrano Water District to the PFAS filtration plant about what we face, what all water agencies face right now, and really the need for us to unite in political opposition to the lack of funding that we're receiving. But I thought your presentation was very well and was very well received. It was good.
Thank you. That's a good to know thing. I appreciate it. Yes, Kelly, Director
Ryan. Yes. As you said, both Bruce and I submitted what is a 15-page, essentially technical memo about seawater intrusion. Bill Mills, 40 years ago, and I worked over at the U.S. Navy, Diego Garcia, British Indian Ocean Territory, looking at seawater intrusion, trying to get water supplies for freshwater supplies for the Navy. That was the start of my career working on seawater intrusion problems with Bill. And I also worked in Ventura County and LA County in the 80s. 96, Bill Mills hired me to help repair the seawater intrusion barrier injection wells that Orange County Water District has. I spent 2 years of the district's $2 million of the district's money over the course of 2 years. And I am bringing forth a proposal, what I call a complete coastal network or coastal network eventually, where it's a long pipeline from LA County to Fountain Valley, 3 miles inland of the beach, with seawater barrier injection wells to prevent seawater intrusion and also to replenish the main aquifers along the coast so that we could be able to manage our basin a lot more dynamically than what we have. The staff I'm asking is to do modeling and planning for moving this forward to see if we should go forward. I think there are many pros to this, and Mike has pointed out a number of cons, but I think they're all issues that it will be interesting to evaluate and get everybody's feedback on and moving this forward. I've been looking forward to this project. It's the main reason why I'm back on the board from when I was on the board from fixing the wells 25 years ago. So looking forward to talking with everybody about this in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Maya has a comment.
Thank you. I just wanted to add that I'm really grateful for all the directors who came and met with the staff at the Arctic, which I always call Arctic, just out of, seems natural, but, and just to share that once that water park is there and a part of the OC Vibe environment, it's going to be phenomenal. OC Vibe, I don't know how many of you know, but they've, as Director Sheldon said, they are investing, the Samueli Foundation is investing $4 billion into, I forget how many acres around the Honda Center, and it's going to include several parks and entertainment venues, housing, as well as office space, and free parking, which was a huge plus for the community. It's going to allow folks to be able to come and enjoy and be able to use that facility. It's a 3-mile trail that goes around the entire facility that will take you to every single venue. So I look forward to inviting you all up when that happens next term, God willing, and to seeing the water park come to fruition eventually. So again, thank you for being there, and I just wanted to share a little bit. If anybody has questions, please reach out.
Thank you. Didn't you mention that the city council was going to share their council box with all the board here?
If anybody wants to go to a game,
I'm purely joking. Let me know. I was joking. Anyways, great. We have those decorative reports. Thank you. And Jeremy, General Counsel, if you could please take us in.
Steve, can I say something real quickly?
Of course you can, Kathy.
I think maybe we might want to close our meeting in honor of Bill Mill, who died September 29th, I think.
Mm-hmm. I second that. That's why I raised my hand.
Okay. Mike, would you like to just give us some background on some of the great work that Bill Mills did for the district?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, President Sheldon. And, you know, Bill was the one that hired me back in 1988. And I'll just share a quick story. At that time, I interviewed with John Shofty, who was then the assistant general manager. And went through that. Everything went fine. I was to meet Bill for the final interview out at the field headquarters. And I get this phone call in my car on the way to the interview. And it was John Shafty warning me that the person I was going to be interviewing with was a bit quirky. And he kind of left it at that. So I didn't know what to expect, but Bill, you know, was always the consummate professional and just a wonderful person. He actually, prior to coming to the district, he had a vision, a plan, actually, when he was with Toops Engineering, as to what to do up in the forebay operationally. And it was his vision to install the rubber dams where they are, to install pump outs in our deep basins to be able to dewater them, burst pit pump station, the acquisition of the San Diego pits, Green Acres. And of course, it was he and OC Sand that really started the idea of the groundwater replenishment system. Expanding the water factory, meeting with OC Sand, building it larger. So he was very much a visionary in the water field, very respected as well in the industry, and really a great guy to work with. I was very fortunate to have spent the amount of time that I did learning from Bill. So he will be missed.
Thank you, Mike. So under motion by Director Green and second by Director Rowe, we will adjourn in honor of former General Manager Bill Mills. Too close session and for the conclusion of the board meeting. Jeremy?
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. Just one quick note under my general counsel's report. I did provide to the board today a memorandum dealing with some recent changes to the Levine Act, and you can read those at your convenience. But I'm not going to go into detail on that now. What I will do is take us into closed session. We have one closed session for a conference of legal counsel to discuss anticipated litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D4. And with that, Mr. President, I recommend we recess to closed session.
Thank you. I'd like to say, Jeremy does have a presentation for us.
Mr. President, I apologize.
Good evening. This Orange County Water District coming out of our closed session. I'll turn this over to Jeremy to report or not report as to our actions.
Yeah, thank you, President Sheldon. We had one closed session and there are no reportable items from that closed session.
Thank you. I'd like to turn the meeting over to Director Rowe to make some comments regarding our former General Manager, Bill Mills.
Well, thank you so much, President Sheldon. I'm pleased to dedicate this meeting. Our board is dedicating this meeting to Bill. He was a great friend. I've known him for over 40 years. I worked with him many years of my career. I think he led OCWD really well. He had excellent staff, directors that helped him succeed many different paths, which helped make Orange County Water District the prestigious groundwater basin management agency in the country that it is today. I wish him and his family, well wishes in their time of grief. And we can look forward to the touch of Bill Mills in Orange County Water District forever. He'll be missed. Thank you so much.
Mike, would you like to add anything, having known Bill really well?
Yeah, no, I did so in open session before, but Kelly is right. I mean, Bill was looked at amongst the industry as one of the giants, really, in the industry, creative thinker. And really, I mean, if you take a look at all the projects that we developed under his vision, just about helped double the percolative capacity of our recharge system. So, just a great man and a great guy to work for.
Thank you. Thank you. His family can be very proud.
Yes.
Good. Any other comments? Seeing none, with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you very much.